We are going to be talking about preaching today. That's going to be my lesson on preaching. Sure enough, the guest preacher teaches on preaching. All right, this is not on why you should listen to me or anything, but this is just simply preaching, what is it and why? All right, so you'll see it's preaching 101, the what and the why of preaching. But before we get into it, I think it would be good for us to pray. Heavenly Father, as we begin this class, as we begin thinking about preaching, how it is the proclamation of your word, we're thankful that you have spoken to us, that we are not left in the dark wondering who you are or wondering what you're like or even wondering if you're there, but that you have revealed yourself through your word, and you continue to do so through the preaching and the proclamation of your word. Thank you for the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ, which is in it. And now as we get in, as we open up your word a little bit here, and as we think about what is preaching, please impart to us a new and a deeper appreciation for what it is, and a recognition for its depth. And give us a greater insight that would actually change us in how we approach hearing you speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, again, this is all about preaching. That's what we're going to be talking about today. What is preaching and why? All right. And we might think, why are we talking about preaching here? All right. Well, I have kind of at the top there, it says here, is preaching an archaic idea kept only for tradition? This question. Is preaching simply an archaic idea that's kept only for tradition's sake? What do you think? I like interaction in my teaching here. What do you think? No, okay, yes. That's a well, there we go. We're done. No, okay. No, it is not an archaic idea, all right. We're gonna talk a little bit about today on why it's not. But real quick, you know, many people have said, well, preaching today in this modern context is irrelevant. All right, why have someone there speaking? Preaching's boring. Oh, you know, just hear it, someone drone on for 30 or 40 minutes. Oh, it's boring. Or even there are some circles of wanting to replace preaching with liturgical practices. So a de-emphasis on the preached spoken word and actually an emphasis upon the pageantry of and the liturgy of worship. All right. So we say, is preaching an archaic idea kept only for tradition? I suggest that biblical preaching is just as vital today as it always was for the following reasons. And we're going to look at a few reasons. You'll notice here it says, because preaching is, I have 1, 2, 3, 3 points basically of what preaching is. Then, and we're going to look at it then, we should approach it in the following ways. All right. Now these are not exhaustive ideas. Preaching is many things. All right, we're going to look at 3 main ideas of what preaching is, and then I have 4 just points of application on, okay, if this is what preaching is, then how should it affect the way that I actually approach the preached word? How does that affect what I do on Sunday mornings? How does that affect actually what I do throughout the week? Because they're related. As I start here too, you'll see up in the box in the corner, it says, passages related to preaching. Those are a number of passages in the scriptures that we see that are related to the idea of preaching. All right? Or sometimes it says in there about prophesying, which is really just speaking God's word in that sense. There's a lot there. We're not going to look at them all. What I would encourage you to do, though, is take this home. I know it's a lot of times it's easy when you have a handout like this, and if you're anyone like me, then that's nice. I'll look at that later. And you end up folding it up, put it in your Bible. And then at some point finding it later, like, oh, yeah, I forgot about this. And then it goes in the recycle bin or something like that. Take a look at them. Even this afternoon, it's a perfect way to celebrate and rest in the Lord's Day here on thinking and dwelling. What is preaching? Look at some of those passages. Think through them and pray through them. All right. So let's start out with the what is preaching. Because preaching is, number one, I have proclamation. Preaching is proclamation. All right, the New Testament concept of preaching that we have is similar to that of a herald. with an important message to proclaim. All right, a herald was someone who would, they're like a messenger, and they would go before a king, usually a conquering king, and they would, you know, the hear ye, you know, sometimes the person in the street, they were announcing good news. Oftentimes in the New Testament context, if a king had just had a great victory, you'd have the, as he was marching back forward, you'd have the herald who would go about 10 miles ahead of him and would be yelling like, make way for the king, hear his great victory, all right? And would be, in a way, kind of preparing the way for that king to come through. All right, that's the idea of a herald. So preaching actually is this heraldic proclamation sort of idea. It is proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. In fact, let's actually go and open our Bibles quick here. Would someone grab, Scott, I have just the references there, but 1 Timothy 2:7, and then someone else, 2 Timothy 1:11. And we'll see what Paul himself talks about, how he refers to his task and his calling. Someone have 1 Timothy 2:7? Okay.
For which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth.
All right. And then we have 2 Timothy 1:11 then?
Which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher.
All right. So there are a couple of things that just briefly I want to look at. One is, I think it's Paul says he was appointed as a preacher. The Greek word is kairux, which is a herald. All right. Paul thought himself as a proclaimer, as a herald. All right. Proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ and his victory. It's interesting also. What does Paul, he separates, he says, I was appointed as a preacher and also a teacher, all right? And that kind of brings us into our next point. Preaching is not just simply teaching. Preaching is not just a lecture about a biblical text, all right? There is, like right now, this lesson that we're doing, there's something distinctly different in this Sunday school lesson than there is in preaching. We say preaching is not a lecture about the biblical text. Now, certainly, we don't want to say that there is no teaching in preaching. Right? There is a didactic, a teaching function when we talk about preaching, right? Because there is an information that is conveyed. But the primary purpose and the primary goal of teaching and preaching are a little bit different. Teaching is to impart information. Preaching is, yes, there is an imparting of information, but there's also a direct call for change. There's a proclamation of Jesus Christ from that text. All right. It says, it's both the exposition and application of the Word of God. All right. So when I say that, exposition, what does that mean? The idea of expositing something. Does anyone know what that means?
What does the text mean?
Yes. All right. So it's talking about not only just what does the text mean, but we don't just stay there, but then there's also the application of it also. It is actually giving you the truth of that text. All right. It's speaking, it's presenting it to you in your situation and in your context. All right. It's expositing that truth of the gospel from the scriptures, and then it's giving it to you. All right. And its purpose is for change, all right? You can almost think of like preaching as like breaking the fourth wall, all right? It is actually bringing that truth to you and giving it to you and delivering it to you in a way that goes not just to your mind but to your heart also, all right? Preaching is not just a lecture, all right? Somewhat like this is a little bit, although I hope there's some application in this also. All right, so let's look at, I have it written right there, but Colossians 1:28, which is a key passage when we talk about preaching. Someone just read that real quick.
Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ.
All right, good, thank you. There's a few parts, a few key ideas in this. One is, who is it? What are we proclaiming? Christ, all right? Christ and his gospel must be proclaimed, all right? This is the good news, all right? In fact, even if you're preaching for someone to change, it's not just, okay, do X, Y, Z, but Christ has to be in there, all right? So there is Christ and his gospel are being proclaimed. We have the word is being expounded and it's given to the people with wisdom. Some of that, the idea of wisdom, I think, has the idea of knowing who are the people that you're preaching to. You know, who's the pastor preaching to, and how is he going to give that to them? That's kind of reading the context of your audience. And then the goal of preaching is for building mature Christians. The goal of preaching is for us to grow in the faith. There's, you know, we could spend on all of these. This is just a 30,000 foot overview. We could spend a lot of time on all of these. So we're doing a quick little buzz over. But if you have any questions, ask. We'll go into it. All right. Any questions on that?
Yeah, I have one
yes.
thing to say. 1 Timothy 2:7 and Colossians 1:28 both bring in the idea of teaching mm-hmm. in the context.
Yes. And is there... Oh, just saying that? Yeah.
Positing.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. And then, again, there is a teaching element. We don't just want to say preaching is simply teaching, but yes, there's the teaching for a specific purpose.
Right.
Too.
Well, I'm just bringing out the issue that, you know, sometimes rhetoricians get carried away and there's not as much content.
That's true. That's true. We'll actually look at some ideas with that a little bit later. It's one of my last points on here. But so, all right. Two, preaching is the word of God. All right. What I have here is a lengthy quote from what's known as the Second Helvetic Confession, chapter 1.4, which was written. It was a early Reformed confession written by Heinrich Bullinger, and I think it's very illuminative on what preaching is. It says, "The preaching of the word of God is the word of God. Wherefore, when this word of God is now preached in the church by preachers lawfully called, we believe the very word of God is proclaimed." And then that's the main part I want to look at. But it continues on, and received by the faithful. And then it goes on and talks about, you know, even despite the deficiencies of the preacher, all right, the word still holds true. Thanks be to God on that. Okay, so we talk about the preaching of the word of God is the word of God. What do you think that means? In what way is it the word of God?
When the word of God is proclaimed by the preacher, when it is actually, not just his opinion, but when he is being faithful to the text, mm-hmm. faithful to the message, and proclaiming Christ, that is to be received as if it was God speaking, because it is the scripture, the God-breathed scripture that's being explained.
Yes, good, good, yes, that's right. When a preacher is faithfully preaching the Bible, he is, in a very real way, speaking the word of God, all right? Which should give us a few things. One is, it should give us pause when we consider preaching. This is God speaking to us. God is speaking to us through his word. Also, as someone who's preaching later today, I think that gives a preacher great pause, too, in thinking, well, I need to be faithful in how I'm rightly handling the word of God also. Or we look at 1 Thessalonians 2:13. We have another passage here. It says, this is Paul speaking, "When you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but what it really is, the word of God." I think the idea of when it says, when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, I think that's referring to Paul and his cohorts actually preaching. Yes, Paul was an apostle, right? As he was writing the scriptures, the word of God. But I think the idea of that you hear the heard and then from us, Paul's not just talking about himself, he's talking about those with him. I think that there is, and many people think that there is actually a connection of actually Paul's talking about not just his apostolic sense, but Paul's actually talking about him and his, those who are with him preaching and hearing the word of God.
Yeah, I think there's, in my mind, there's kind of a danger. I'm not quite sure how to explain it, but not everything that ministers say can be considered God's word.
Yes.
Because sometimes they're not God's word.
Yes.
But some ministers want to impress upon the congregation that what they're saying has to be obeyed as if it's God's word.
Yes.
Somewhere there's a problem there.
And I'm actually, that's the point I'm getting to right next. So I'm glad you hit that, right? Because that, it doesn't mean that whatever a preacher says necessarily is, you know, you must do X, Y, Z. Perfect example, I was even thinking about this before, is let's say you have someone who's preaching about marriage from Ephesians 5, all right? And if someone says, okay, now here are 8 rules about marriage that you must do, which aren't found in Ephesians 5, then that is something that the preacher is putting on the congregation, on the people, that isn't necessarily scriptural. They might be good ideas, but are they from the Bible? No. And so therefore, are they authoritative for the people? No. We have to be careful with that. Yes. And that's why we should always be making sure, what is the preacher saying? Is he speaking in accordance with what the Word of God actually says? Yes. I'm glad you brought that up. So that's good. There we have right there a perfect example of someone sitting in the pews and thinking. Good. Excellent. Preaching is only authoritative, not because of any authority in the minister. It is only authoritative insofar as it is as the Word of God says. All right, a preacher's authority isn't from himself. The preacher only has authority to speak to what is in here. All right, and that is an important part, because there have been actually a lot of abuses, particularly also, or a lot of people who have been led astray as well. So we want to be careful. I have that right here at the very end, preaching is the word of God insofar as it is in accordance with the text of the scriptures. The preacher's authority comes only from the scriptures. Yes, Jim.
Do you think we can see the same correlation with the use of sacraments? The veracity and truthfulness of what is conferred is not relied upon those giving it?
I think so. Actually, you see, it's kind of at the end of the Second Helvetic Confession there. it says, and now that the word itself, which is preached, is to be regarded not the minister that preaches, right? It's for even if he be evil and a sinner, nevertheless, the word of God still remains true and good. Yes, absolutely. Good. All right. Third, point three, because preaching is, we have proclamation, the word of God, and last we're going to look at the preaching as a means of grace. All right. What do I mean when I say a means of grace?
That's a means whereby God confers his grace on us and sanctifies us.
Yes, yes, good. Did you have something to add?
Just that it's, when we say a means of grace, it's not something that we obtain, it's something that God uses to benefit us.
Good, good, yeah. It's a means whereby God has chosen to work and to build faith in his people, yeah. And I have here, this is a quote from Westminster Larger Catechism, question 155, and this emphasizes the Spirit's work in preaching. The Spirit of God maketh the reading, but especially the preaching of the word, an effectual means of, and I've, all the verbs that I've underlined, the Spirit makes preaching an effectual means of enlightening, convincing, and humbling sinners, driving them, it says, drawing them to Christ, conforming them to his image, subduing them to his will, strengthening them against temptations and corruptions, building them up in grace, establishing their hearts in holiness and comfort through faith unto salvation. It's the Spirit, ultimately, who is at work in preaching. All right, and we actually see this idea over and over through the scriptures. There's a lot of references here, and I won't look at them all, but I would encourage you to later on look at some of them. The Holy Spirit works through the Word. The Spirit makes it effective unto faith for the elect. This is some of our Reformed theology ideas. All right, it's the Spirit who draws the elect to himself, and it is then not. And how does the Spirit do so? It works through means. Preaching is one of those means. Is that a hand or is that a glasses?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a hand. I was kind of saying what you were about to say there, but I was thinking this gets to so much of the difference between Reformed theology and the Anabaptist theology, that God uses the means of the word and sacraments as he does not speak directly to us.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, and that's one of the things, like, you know, if we want to hear, you know, people say, I want to hear God speak to me. Well, there's picking up your Bible, but there's also hearing the preacher preach on a Sunday morning. He's speaking the word of God insofar, again, as he's preaching the scriptures. All right. Back to this idea of the Spirit working through the preached word as a means of grace. I think this, when I first thought about this, this is the top of page 2. This blew my mind. But it's consistently through the Bible. All right, from Genesis to Revelation. The Spirit is present to give life when God speaks. Think about Genesis 1, and you have creation. All right, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it says the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. You have God speaking, and you have the Spirit there present also when at creation. All right, Ezekiel 37 is the idea of the valley of the dry bones. All right, and as Ezekiel is there, and he's prophesying, he's speaking the word of God to these dead, lifeless bones. The Spirit comes and brings them to life. Again, it's this awesome picture of preaching. And then the Spirit working through that preaching and bringing a bunch of dead bones to life. Not just putting the bones together into some lifeless carcasses, but then also actually filling them up and bringing them to life. It's this beautiful, magnificent picture of the Word going forth and the Spirit working in that way. Acts 2. All right, you have the Spirit on the apostles at Pentecost, all right, and they are bringing life to these dead sinners as they're coming back, as they're cut to the heart, it says. So we have this picture, and these are only a few ideas, but all throughout the Bible, you have this idea of the Spirit working with the Word of God. Preaching is a recreative act, all right, when the Spirit is working through the preached word, you have recreation of dead sinners back to life. That's what's going on here. All right. And so that we have, when the word is preached, the Spirit is at work, despite our own inadequacies and those of the preacher, to build faith in his people. All right. The confidence of a preacher is not in his own gifts, it's not in his own talents or abilities that he thinks he might have. Ultimately, the confidence of the preacher comes only through the work of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit blesses the preaching as he sees fit. It is only the Spirit who can break and melt hardened hearts, and who can bring life into dead souls. All right. So we have there, we've covered quite a bit. We've got about almost 15 minutes left, 10 minutes or so. And then we'll look at if this is what preaching is, then what does it, then how should we approach it? All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts, ideas so far though? Okay. All right. If preaching is then proclamation, the word of God, and a means of grace, then this is a non-exhaustive list of some things that maybe that we should think about for preaching, how we should approach it. 1, preaching is central to the life of the church. Okay. Preaching is central to the life of the church. It's not something we add on. It's not something that sounds nice. It's, you know, we go back to the question, is this just an archaic idea held by tradition? The answer is no. All right. Yeah. Preaching is central to the life of the church. God has ordained preaching as the primary means of grace for building up his church. Right. It's vital for the church's life, discipleship, and evangelism. How so and why? Right. Why is preaching important for the church's life, right, for its vitality, for the way we make disciples, for evangelism? How is preaching, or why is preaching important for these things?
It's God's word coming to us, and we need God's word as a church, because that's what the church is. It's a bunch of believers.
Yes. Good. Yeah. There's something special about, there's something different about me just, you know, picking up my Bible in the morning with a cup of coffee by myself, as opposed to coming and actually to a worship service and having the word preached to me. All right, there's something different going on there, isn't there? We talk about again being a means of grace. I mean, is the Spirit at work in my heart when I'm reading? Yes. But is there something different and special about when we're coming and when we worship, and how the preacher is preaching the Word of God to us, and the Spirit is at work in that way? Is there something different? Oh, you better believe it. Yeah. Okay. What else? Why else is preaching maybe vital for some of these things? Or what do we make of, what are some what are some things that we do with this idea?
Hearing the preached word, it's an objective proclamation. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting at home reading my Bible, sure I believe it's true, but to hear it from another proclaimed, if you are trusting in Christ, your sins are forgiven, it gives me reassurance and confers with the Spirit in me.
Good.
As well.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's to hear it objectively proclaimed reassures one's
memory. Yeah, yeah.
The title verse Catechism says that in the questions about the keys of the kingdom, that is the opening and closing of the keys of the kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. I think even for sometimes evangelism, we think about sometimes also. Sometimes we make, you know, there are different ways of going about evangelism. And some of them, you know, so sometimes we think, that's really hard, you know. Doing evangelism is really hard. Well, sometimes if we think about, well, what is preaching? Isn't it can it sometimes be as simple as inviting a non-believer to church and to hearing the word? And if we believe that it's the Spirit who is at work, it's not up to us. It's not up to the preacher. It's the Spirit who will break those hardened hearts as he sees fit, right? Yes?
So sometimes when we want to hear from God, there's the poor technique of opening your Bible at random and putting your finger somewhere and saying, what does God say to me today?
Yes.
But when we're reading and studying our scriptures by ourselves, we tend to make the connections that we want to connect. We see the things that we want to see. We're heavily influenced by what we want to find, what we want God to say to us. Whereas when you have it proclaimed at you, when you have it told to you, mm-hmm. by somebody who has studied the Word of God and who has thought about what I need to hear, mm-hmm. it's another dimension on what's in the Word of God, because there's depth here that is not found by just one person.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's also, you know, saying what, you know, about hearing not what I want to hear, but hearing what's in there. I mean, that's some of the... We all need that. You know, I've been married for almost 3 years now, and I'll tell you what, you know, my wife's told me things sometimes I don't want to hear, but definitely that I need to hear, all right? So, good. We'll go on to the next one. Two, this kind of is self-explanatory now. We ought to pay close attention to it, all right? If this is the Word of God, then should we pay attention to it? Yes. This is God speaking. Yes, all right? But maybe we should also think about how we listen to the Word of God. This is, again, from Westminster Larger Catechism, question 160. It is required of those that hear the word preached that they attend upon it with diligence, preparation, and prayer. Examine what they hear by the Scriptures. Receive the truth with faith, love, meekness, and readiness of mind as the word of God. Meditate and confer of it. Hide it in their hearts and bring forth the fruit of it in their lives. All right. Preaching, you know, the sermon time is not a time for us to just check out. It's not a time for us to just, I got the singing part done. Now I can just kind of sit back a little bit and enjoy. Well, there is we should sit back and listen, but we need to be active listeners, all right? There's a difference between passive listening and active listening. passive listening sometimes happens when I'm watching a football game and my wife's asked me to do the dishes. It's like, you know, I hear words washing over me, but I should probably, you know. It's not just that, but it's active listening. It's thinking. It's meditating. It's sometimes even praying during the midst of it, too. All right? Preachers prepare beforehand. Listeners should also prepare beforehand. Think about maybe praying, you know, even before the service. After the service, praying after the service, thinking about it. God, I have your next point here. God is speaking through the sermon. So the sermon demands our attention. The sermon demands our attention. Yeah, Jim.
In preparation on our part, I think as members of the church, we should be praying for our pastors for the upcoming Lord's Day. Mm-hmm. And that the Holy Spirit would be with them, proclaiming boldly. It engages us with the preached word beforehand.
Yeah. And actually, that's next point, number three. Everyone should approach preaching with prayer. So good, good. I like this. We're active thinkers, active listeners right now. Okay, good. At the same time, when we think about paying close attention, at the same time, we recognize our own limitations. Physical limitations. Sometimes we're tired. Sometimes we feel like we can only listen for so long. I've been sitting here for a while. I hurt. I need to get up and down again. Whatever it is. Emotional. Sometimes we come with just different emotions on a Sunday morning. Sometimes happy. Sometimes sad and depressed. Sometimes we come with our own spiritual limitations of just being down in our spirits. I'm realizing some of this anew with having a child. All right, I can't sit and listen to the sermon the same way that I always felt like before. Because you're pulling double duty. You're trying to you got a kid going at the same time, but yet you're trying to listen, and so there's all sorts of things going on here. All right. But what we need is to pray that the Spirit would help us listen. Right? Pray that the Spirit would open our hearts. Right? All of this here should drive us to our knees before the sermon. Right? We should be praying before the sermon. Sometimes maybe even during the sermon. After the sermon. All right? We need to pray that the Spirit would work through His means. And actually take confidence that the Spirit would work through these means. All right. And I have here the next point. Preachers are not exempt from needing to pray. All right. Despite the preacher's varying giftings and skills, any, I have in quotes, success, because it may not always be outwardly successful, but again, we pray that and know that the Spirit will be working in the ways that He will. Any success in preaching is due to the Spirit's work. All right. The preacher needs to pray. And again, pray for your pastor throughout the week. He needs it. It's a lot of work to week in and week out to be studying the scriptures, to be thinking about it, to be thinking about how am I going to give this to my congregation. Pray for your pastor. That's probably one of the single most important things that you all can do as a congregation, and that is to pray daily for your pastor in his work. And then last point I have here, it's kind of an interesting one. We should reconsider what is truly, I have in quotes, bad preaching, all right? We think of bad preaching, you know, probably a lot of us think a lot of different things, all right? It's interesting that the Bible gives us the content of proper preaching, but not necessarily the rhetorical style, right? There are a lot of different styles for preaching. We need to think here. Now, it doesn't. We need to think here. I have this question: are the scriptures in this sermon being faithfully and authoritatively given? Right? Is the scripture? Are the scriptures being preached faithfully? Is Christ being proclaimed? Right? Or am I thinking that I don't like this sermon simply because of maybe my own preferences for style, for structure? Everyone has, every preacher has their own little styles and their own tics that they do. This doesn't mean, when I say this, that some sermons are not objectively better than others, because there are. This doesn't mean that some preachers are or aren't objectively better than others for various reasons, because they are. Some preachers are more gifted. Some preachers are more experienced, whether it's in expositing the word, whether it's in communication, whatever it is. But we, you know, is this legitimately a bad sermon because of the contents of it, or is this just a little bit different? Am I looking at it differently because of the style? Is it something that maybe I'm not used to or not? And maybe we should consider sometimes what is or isn't a bad sermon. Again, is ultimately, are the scriptures being proclaimed? Is Christ being being preached faithfully? If so, then, well, we've got a good start somewhere. Right? It doesn't mean, again, that some people, particularly maybe younger preachers too, aren't may or may not be as adept as some other ones. But we should think about that. So, any questions? Okay. So we've got just like a couple minutes left here. I have here at the bottom questions for reflection. These are just some things to think about as you go forward. They could be, you know, maybe we'll see what time we've got. Maybe discuss one or so here. But think about these maybe as you go home. Think about these throughout the week. I love the first one, though. Am I aware that the eternal and transcendent triune God, who created all things by the power of his word, is speaking to me through the sermon? Am I aware of that? Because I think if we are, then it will drastically change. Even you think about that before, and how you approach the sermon even today in the pews. Think about that. All right. Two, how can I prepare myself to be a better hearer of the word through worship? All right, or during worship. What am I doing in the hours and days after the sermon? A lot of times, you know, we're driving home and we want to think about the sermon. At lunch, we want to think about the sermon. Maybe dinner, whatever it is. Sometimes we ought to be thinking about the sermon throughout the week. Am I thinking about the sermon maybe on Friday? All right. Sometimes I have to think too. Do I remember what the sermon was about? Sometimes that can be just a struggle right there. Am I praying for my pastor, and am I praying for the congregation as he prepares throughout the week? And last year, am I listening to the sermon primarily for knowledge, or am I listening to be changed according to Christ's likeness? Okay, so those are some questions to think about. You guys have any questions or comments before we break, and before we actually come into worship and actually get to put some of this into practice? Yes.
I find it helpful to take notes during the sermon, so that I know this last sermon, I was very impressed with it, and I had taken notes, and I went home and I reread the notes, and it really helped clarify it in my mind.
Yeah. Yeah, that, you know, a lot of people take notes. That sometimes that helps them listen better. Sometimes it helps them recall things better. You know, some people are more just auditory and like to hear things. So, yeah, absolutely. Those are, you know, there are multiple ways that different people can do things to remember. So good. All right, let's pray, and then we'll actually have a few minutes before we transition into worship. Heavenly Father, thank you for preaching. Thank you for speaking to us, and in your wisdom, continuing to do so, but through the means of weak people, of weak pastors and preachers who bring your word. Lord, as we think about what preaching is, I pray that we would look upon it anew, that we would approach it in a new, fresh way, in an exciting way, not in a way that has any dullness, but Lord, knowing that you are speaking and calling us to yourself. As we transition into our time of worship, may we think about the sermon in a new way going forward. May we pray, may we prepare ourselves. And Lord, would your Spirit be at work through it? Because it is only through your Spirit that we can be changed by. It is only by the work of your Spirit that we can truly understand. And thank you for that. For condescending to us weak sinners. In Jesus' name, amen.